You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 589, raw and direct to you. Finally, we've got the power, raw power. We're streetwalking cheese with heart full of napalm. We've got total control of the Punk News Podcast, straight to acetate style recording. Let's go, 589.
Everybody always trying to tell me what to do. I look in the eyes of the savage girl, fall deep in love in the underworld. Raw power is showed up from a runner to you. You alone and you got the shakes, so am I, baby, I got what it takes. Raw power is showed up from a runner to you.
We've got complete control of the podcast, yes. And we're going live literally the hour after recording. It's up on the internet. What's it like flying without a safety net? How's it feel? No editing, no time for double-thinking oneself, no nothing, just, you know, raw footage.
It feels great. I think this is what it would feel like, or it will feel like when we take over the world. It's just like everything's right there, you know? Just endless possibilities.
That brings up a good question. Halle Bullitt M equates taking over the world with endless possibilities. But honestly, like, I would never want to be a president or a king or a dictator or even like a drug cartel dude, because all you have to worry about maintaining your position all the time, and you can never really have fun ever. It just never seems worth a headache to me. And I guess that's why I'll never be like, you know, like an Elon Musk kind of guy. You know, it just seems like too much of a headache, frankly.
Yeah, I'm with you. Although, I mean, you know, just in I don't know, you guys, I'm so tired. I can't even. I'm excited that you persevered over technology. I feel like whenever there's a battle of Halle versus technology, technology always wins and I just give up. So I'm like super excited that you've got full control of the podcast, that you like gave technology like a big fucking middle finger and just figured it out. And so bravo to you.
Well, thank you, but it wasn't on me. I did have some help from Adam White and Auburn Paul, and Halle was part of the conversation, and she saw me say, oh, Auburn, we need to redirect the 732 filter to the 9H pointer, and I have no idea what I'm asking for.
And I responded just to you, and I was like, holy shit, John. I was like, just reading that email made my head hurt.
Oh, my God. Well, we're through the woods, we persevered, and here we are, raw. To tape, you know, like Danzig, Death Red Sabbath, analog style, no digital. Here we are. And listen, speaking of anarcho-punks, yours truly just had a big article over at Bandcamp. It's the anarcho-punk history of Chumbawamba. I'm thrilled that I got to do it. I interviewed four of the big wigs at Chumbawamba: Danbert, Dunstan, Alice Nutter, and Dunstan Bruce. I don't want to say the most prominent, but some of the most prominent members of a band that had at times up to 12 people. I'll give a little bit of background. So at Bandcamp and in general, I'm being very self-indulgent here. I'm going to be a little self-indulgent with this podcast, but I'll tighten up the self-indulgent with the part of the Chumbawamba, then I'm going to be really self-indulgent. So actually, you know what? Go read my article at Bandcamp. It had some editing. All right, fine. I'm going back.
It's really good. Read it.
Read it, man.
So John, it's so awesome.
I wrote it. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wrote it as kind of a sequel in theme to my Crass article. And when I did my Crass article, I'm like, well, how many words can I have? And they didn't really answer. So I did like 5,000 words and they just accepted it. I was like, oh. And then I got my Chumbawamba thing approved. And I'm like, and I didn't ask how many words. I didn't ask how many words were. And there's that thing, is you don't know if you're on a leash until you reach the end of it or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't know if you're on a leash if you stay close to the pole. So I submitted a 12,000 word article. And my editor, Zoe Camp, who's awesome, she's like, I like the article, but I don't think we can do 12,000 words. I was like, that's fine. So I weed-whacked it down to about 5,000, and then she went over, and it was real cool. And then after she handed off to her boss, there were some edits that I wasn't thrilled with. And I don't think it killed the article or anything, but, you know, I feel I have a somewhat unique style, and I felt my style was erased down to generic music writing article style, you know. And so that really, really did bum me out. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'll tell them I don't want to do it. You know, F them, you know, but on the other hand, I always say to myself, I'm a pro, you know, like we don't give out free passes to shows anymore at Punk News, 'cause it was too much of a headache. But once in a while, like we would give a $12 ticket to somebody and they would say, oh, I didn't review the show. And be like, well, why not? They're like, oh, my name wasn't on the list. I couldn't get in. And I'm thinking, I'm a pro. I got into Kanye West, the height of Kanye mania, because I didn't have a ticket. You know, I snuck in. Like, you can sneak into Mean Jeans if you have to. You know what I mean? So, like, I always say to myself, I'm a pro. But then when any of my stuff gets edited that I'm really passionate about, I become a huge baby. And I'm like, oh, why did she? I had there, not that. You know, where? You know, so it really bummed me out. But then, so I was, like, really mad. But then I thought, John, who else is giving you almost free reign to write 5,000 words about Chumbawamba, you know? And yeah. So I kind of had to, you know, it's like you could have run at Punk News if you want, but then your audience is going to be different than Bandcamp. And I love Punk News, and I think Punk News is the best music website out there. But Punk News is not as – what's the word I'm looking for? It's more of a wild zone where Bandcamp is more consistent quality-wise, if you will, you know. And I love that Punk News is wild zone, but I also like that Bandcamp is, you know, so, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So it did have some edits, and I'm being a huge baby, and it certainly didn't kill the article, so I appreciate everybody that read it. It was a thrill to talk to Chumbawamba, and I kind of had to have a heart-to-heart with myself. It's like, well, if they're paying you to write it, I mean, like, is Rolling Stone paying you money to write about Chumbawamba? No. So, you know, at least you should be thrilled with them, you know, Bandcamp. So anyway, Bandcamp rules. I'm still bummed out about the whole sale thing. That's a whole different story, you know. So anyways, so that's my Chumbawamba article. Check it out at Bandcamp. I'm really thrilled with it. Oh, I did something I didn't usually do, is I emailed all four of the people because they were all very cool, but they're all very, like the members of Chumbawamba hold Chumbawamba very, very sacredly. And I'm like I almost apologize to them. I'm like, oh, well, it had some edits. And I hope it's not too offensive. And I almost asked for, like I said, I hope it doesn't, I said, I hope it portrays the band fairly, which is almost me asking for praise because I really don't want to bum any of them out. And they all sent back very nice things. And even a couple of the ones that I thought might be bummed out, they actually sent back really nice things. So I think they were all right with it. Or if they're just being English, you know, English people will tell you it's great, even if it's not, you know, so who knows? At any rate, Chumbawamba rules. All the members of Chumbawamba are the real deal. And check out the article and check out Chumbawamba. Chumbawamba friggin' rules. So,
John, the article's great. So I don't know what it was like before, but, you know, it's really like a top-rate article. So, you know, I just – whether it was better before the edits, I can't say. But with the edits, it's really – it's a really good read. It's a really interesting read. It kept my attention the whole time, even though it was – you know, it's on the longer side. And really took you through the history of the band. It just was so, it was funny and interesting because the history of the band is funny. I loved that. Like, I loved the thing where it's like the, was it the cover of Anarchy with the picture of the baby being born?
Oh, yeah. That's Anarchy.
Oh, my God. That might have been my favorite part because just for anyone that hasn't read the article yet, you know, they put this actual picture of a baby being born on their album cover, and they were told that it was, you know, like not pornography. What was it? They were told that it was
obscenity.
Yes, and but they were like, but we got this from a children's. It's a children's book about where babies come from. Like, how can it be obscene if it's in a children's book? It was such a great example of just the way they were always trying to push the envelope, and it made me laugh, and it was, I don't know, I really enjoyed learning more about the band, and you were the guy to do it, right? Because you're like the, I don't know, I just feel like you were the right guy to write this article because you love them so much, and that comes across, and you understand, you know their history, which a lot of punks don't, and you understand how just their, like, you understand how they absolutely fit into punk in terms of, like, their the way they were a band, even if all of the music wasn't necessarily punk. So I really enjoyed it. I don't think you should have any regrets about how it turned out, right? Because it turned out really well.
Well, thank you, Hattie. I really appreciate you and Em saying nice things. In a way, I wasn't fishing for compliments. I was being honest, but in a way, I was fishing for compliments. So thank you for saying nice things about my article. So now here's where Hattie and Em are going to put John into place. And so I think sometimes you get, and maybe I'm wrong, do you get annoyed by my, I don't want to say, what's what I'm looking for, not metaphysical, because this is the opposite of metaphysical, my contemplations with how the universe works and my conflicts with other people. I feel those stories bore you. Is that accurate?
Wait, no, I want to answer this honestly. Let me think about it. No, I mean, honestly, I'm very rarely irritated by you. I find you pretty entertaining. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think back. I can't, like, off the top of my head be like, oh, yeah, when you talked about that one thing, it really annoyed me. I mean, I think no, I don't know. I feel like you kind of set. I feel like you kind of set me up there.
Fair enough.
Do I feel annoyed? I mean, I guess I like to. I like to keep. I listen. This is ironic of me to say because I know I can be long-winded too. I think I err on the side of at least trying to like keep things flowing. And so maybe sometimes if I feel like just something about the momentum of things has gotten stalled out, maybe sometimes that just causes me stress. That's probably unnecessary. And I don't know. I don't like when we, I don't, I think the only time I truly was like, what is going on is when we were like, There was some episode where we were like, what was it? What did you have us do, John?
By the way, the Reddit game where I talked about MIA.
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be music related and it just like wasn't at all music related. And I think just the fact that I didn't understand going into it what it was, that I really was struggling. I was like, what are we talking about? I was like, this has nothing to do with music or like anything that the podcast is supposed to be about. Maybe if I'd understood a little bit better what it was going to be, I could have just handled it better. But I was like a little bit like, what is it? I was kind of like sideswiped and then just like, I could not recover. Like just mentally, I just couldn't recover. And you guys could totally tell. I was like, what? not my finest moment on the podcast.
It wasn't my finest moment either, because that was definitely like my biggest bomb one of my biggest bombs on the podcast.
But listen. I didn't help you, right? Because I was like on mic just being so resistant.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's be real. Like, I don't want Em or Hallie or Sam, and Sam is really good. Is like, I don't want any of you to force some. Like, I think more than anything, where our podcast excels over many other podcasts, is it really is honest in that, like, we don't say, oh, I love the new blah, 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 blah single or it's, I think it's very good that we do disagree sometimes, and sometimes things do bomb or don't hit. As a listener, I definitely want the podcast to be their truth rather than sell me a plastic sitcom type product, if you will.
Yeah. And like, just for people that did not listen to that episode, it was like John wanted us to play a game where he was like reading us this very specific thread on Reddit and we were supposed to respond to it, but the thread had nothing to do with music. I was so lost. I was so confused.
When you put it that way, it sounds like absolutely horrible. John was reading a comment section and John was in the comment section of something that had nothing to do with music, and he wanted to know our opinion of the comment section. Anyway, here's where I do want Em and Hallie's opinion, and I have devoted way too much mental energy to this, but it's been bothering me. So, I used to budget $25 a month to buy records, and if I wanted to buy more than $25, I'm sorry, not a month, a week of records, and if I wanted to buy more than $25 a week, I would have to buy enough records that I could resell to cover the other records that I wanted to buy. And then a little bit before COVID, I kind of challenged myself because people were buying records. I said, well, I'm going to make my budget zero, and I can only buy records if I buy and sell other records. And that kind of worked out kind of cool, and I started selling records down in Philadelphia at this thing called the Punk Rock Flea Market in Philadelphia, which is very cool. But it's not really a flea market. It's really more like the alt craft fair. Like, people will sell, like earrings with pentagrams on them, or like dinner plates with Jason Voorhees or their own prints or something like that. It's not really a flea market. It's really more like that, you know. And so I sell records down there. And there's like two other guys that are there a lot, and maybe once in a while a couple other people. But it's really not that many records at all. There's probably 120 sellers maybe, and like three dudes selling records, right? And so I talked about them a little bit before. My strategy is much different than other people's record selling strategy. The way I sell records is I call it $3 classic. Here's my spiel. People walk up, I say, how you doing, my friend? I've got $3 classic rock, and then I point to the other side. Punk rock, hip-hop, heavy metal, a little bit better, classic rock, a little bit more expensive. And really, it's $3 records and more expensive records is what it really is, you know. And so there's two other guys that sell records there. One guy is a guy that when I met him, he insulted World Inferno, not knowing that's like one of my favorite bands ever. And then the second time I met him, he insulted Leftover Crack, not knowing that I just finished the book Leftover Crack. So anyway, he's like, I told the story. I'll tell real briefly. He's like, you know, Leftover Crack really screwed me over. I was playing in Zounds, and they went over their set, and I'm thinking, I've never been more happy to know that a band went over their set ever than to know that they went over their set and made you unhappy. I'm so thrilled that Leftover Crack screwed you over, you know. At any rate, then there's this other dude, and listen, I don't sell records for a living. Oh, and also, like in these there's the Trenton Flea Market, the Philadelphia one, there's a whole bunch of them. There's the Asbury Park one. A lot of these people go to all the different ones, and that's how they kind of make their living, or that's how they make a chunk. So it's kind of a community, and they all kind of know each other. And from what I can tell, they're all relatively friendly towards each other. It's not super competitive, but I'm sure there's some competition there. That being said, I kind of don't want to be in that world. I just kind of want to come, do my thing, and leave, you know? And maybe that's dickish of me. Maybe it's not. I don't want to get too sucked into that world because I kind of got my own thing going on aside from that. And so for me, it really is just a hobby. So I get my records for free, essentially, you know? And so when you're there, people come to your table and say, oh, they buy a $3 record. They go, I'll be over at my table over there, like kind of wanting you to come buy some print. It's like, I don't want to buy a bunch of prints that I don't want. You know what I mean? So anyways, it's a whole community, and I'm trying to be nice to everybody, but I don't go around trying to make friends just because, you know, I just want to kind of do my thing and leave and, you know, get my record money, if you will. And I love doing it. I mean, actually, I have a lot of fun. I really look forward to doing it. I love doing it. But that, you know, that's – I'm not really part of the community. And, it's nice to talk to the people, but I'm not there to hang out. I'm not there to make friends, honestly, which might sound rather cold and callous. But I'm not there to make friends. You know, I'm there to sell records and make money, frankly. And so anyways, this other guy, he's an older guy, and his records are, well, in my opinion, pretty overpriced, you know. And so put that aside. So every time I sell records there, this I'm going to sound kind of mean, but this creepy little guy comes by, and he's got, like, long uncut hair. He's got, like, a whole bunch of layers of clothes on, and they're, like, all, like, faded. So you all kind of know the type. And I get the impression that like, you know, life is better for some people, and it's not good for some, you know. And so this guy goes through all my records, and, like, he will literally spend he's the first guy there. He spends an hour there. He picks out about 35 records, $3 records, goes through every single one of them, and then they're not mint – I mean, they all play, but a $3 Van Halen record is not going to be a mint record. And he'll pick out 35, go through all of them, and literally, like, leave with two. So he spent an hour buying two $3 records. Like, how is that worth your time at all? You know, at any rate, but like the guy annoys me, but I don't beat down on him just because I don't need to beat down. Like, this guy's not a threat. You know what I mean? So some people, you know, you can tell life's been rougher to them. Just let them do their thing. You know what I mean? So anyways, this guy comes by and goes through all my stuff. He's annoying, but you know, what are you going to do about it? You know, but then like I got boxes underneath, which are my extras. He's like, can I go through the boxes underneath? I'm like, fine. I'm just trying to get them out of my hair. So I say, fine. Then the other older guy that sells records for more expensive comes over. And this is on – it's a three-day sale, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He comes over, and he starts going through my stuff, and he's buying a ton of stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm a little annoyed because he's another seller, but, you know, I'm like, whatever. And then he goes through my extras. He's like, can I see your extras? And the creepy little guy had gone through them, so I let him go through them. And then I put two and two together. The creepy little guy is kind of like his agent. Like, he's like, it's like, it's the guy, like, you know what I mean? Like, I realize this is way too, I'm already way too deep in this world. You know what I mean? And so anyways, this dude buys like he buys all my rumors. You know, rumors is a perennial seller. He buys all my rumors, all my tapestries, all my Beatles, you know, and which are probably a little bit underpriced, but I don't care because I'd rather make a quick nickel than a slow dime. He takes them and he goes over to his table and marks them up three times the price. And well, it's an open market and I'm trying to sell them and I'm trying to make money. But then I kind of thought about it and I realized he's cherry picking all my best stuff. And the way my business works, if you will, is the average person that doesn't really collect records come by. Oh, you know, they'll buy a Beatles record, but they'll also buy a John Denver record that no one wants. You know what I mean? So these are my fish hooks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he's buying all my fish hooks and leaving the junk, you know. And on Friday, I was so bummed out because he bought all my, like, kind of good, cheap stuff. I had a good day that day. And then luckily, through my I won't go into detail. But that night, I was able to get a whole bunch of other really cool, really cheap stuff, you know. Well, actually, I don't know why I'm being weird. It was Black Friday, so I ran. Like, after the thing was over, I packed up super quick and I ran to one of my favorite local record stores where they were having a crazy sale. And I bought a whole bunch of cheap records and sold them myself again. You know what I mean? The next morning, he comes by and Terry picks all my good stuff again. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, and I was conflicted because I'm there to sell these records and I'm there to make money. But then I thought, well, he only bought $180 worth of records. I think if I didn't sell them to him, those records would have had more records stuck to them from other consumers. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And so I'm selling records again week after next, and I know he's going to come by and cherry pick, right? And I'm kind of known as, he's aside. So the first time he's cherry picking my records, he's like, well, you know, if they pay $3 for them, he's like, I'll give you a hint. If they pay $3 for them, they'll pay $5 for them, which is probably true. However, I like three because if someone pays $5 for a record, maybe they'll buy one or two. But if they have three, six, nine, it never blocks out. You know what I mean? So people will buy seven, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, someone will buy like one $5 record, but like seven $3 records. You know what I mean? So, and also, like, I'm usually so busy, I don't have time to go to other people's tables. This guy keeps coming to my table, like, three times a day. So I think I've got the better angle, frankly, because I don't have time to walk around. You know what I mean? At any rate. So I'm kind of known as the $3 guy, you know. And so I'm sure he's going to come around next time and cherry pick before it starts or right when it starts. Oh, I got to go back. So one time, so he's like, well, you know, if they buy it for $3, they'll buy it for $5. And then he had some record that I had for like $6. And he's like, well, this is a $12 record. I'm like, yeah. And he takes it. He's like, well, you know, you really could get, he keeps telling me I could get 12 for it. So I say, let me see it. And then I put it under my table. I'm like, it's $15. And, like, I didn't mean to be, like, I've had this happen maybe 5 times in my life. Like, I'm not trying to be intimidating or scary, and I don't think I'm intimidating or scaring. And if you guys want to hear my crazy courthouse story, I'll tell you about that sometime if you want to hear about that. Anyway, the guy got, like, really scared and, like, freaked out. You know what I mean? And so my face must do something, or my body language, that I, like, I feel totally calm, but he looked at me like I was going to hit him or something. You know, and I wasn't, you know. And then he got, like, all bummed out and, like freaked out. And then I did sell it to him for $6 because, like, he apologized, you know. And so anyways, I know he's going to come by next time at the beginning and try to cherry pick all my good stuff. And so my options are just to sell it to him. My options say, matter of factly, listen, I can't sell to his business, or charge him $6 a record. And when I say, I thought there were three, I'm like, well, you know, for you, I got to do 6 because it's a business. You know what I mean? The only problem is like, I don't want to get involved in this world, but he's like palsy-wowsy with the people that throw it. You know what I mean? So I don't want to bring trouble on myself. But then again, mafiosoed. You know what I mean? And so I don't know what – I put way too much mental thought into this. But should I just tell him I'm not going to sell these? Should I say $6? Should I could lie, but honestly, I usually don't like to lie if I really don't have to. And also, like even in law, I rarely, if ever, lie, quote, bluff, you know. And so, like it's just too much of a headache. I'd rather just tell the truth and be direct. So I don't know. What should I do? I really don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I think I'm just going to tell him $6. And if he says why, I'll just be like it's a business, man. But then he's going to be pissed off about that, even though he's being Mr. Friendly. I think he's really just kind of, you know, cherry picking me. You know, I don't know.
I think you explain it to him just the way you did to us. Like, I need
that. That is his dick, and I don't like him.
No, like, you need those records because they validate your collection. You know, when people are thumbing through, even if they're not going to buy it, they're like, oh man, look at this. This guy has this and this. They keep looking. They understand that you have good shit if he takes all the good stuff. And it makes your whole deal look like less. I think you just explain it from what you just said right now made total sense to me from a business standpoint. And I don't see, I mean, if he's not reasonable enough to understand that, then you don't really care what he thinks about you, right?
I don't, you know how some people just have way too much time on their hands and they talk to this guy and they talk to that guy. Like, I think with the people that throw it, I don't want to. I'm definitely not going to let myself get bushwhacked. Not, that's not the right word. Pushed around. But I sometimes I could be accused of, you know, heading headfirst into a fight. I don't want to fight. I'd rather do the Prince Machiavelli and avoid the fight to begin with, you know, win and avoid the fight by winning. You know what I mean? So, but should I charge him $6 or should I straight up say I'm not going to sell to you? You know, because that seems very aggressive, you know.
Charge him $6 and then just say, I'm taking your advice.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. We'll see, man. I'll update everybody. Like, I can't tell you how pensive I've been. Like, this is such a small part of my life, but I've been pensive about it for the past 6 months. It's taking up way too much of my mental space. You know what I mean?
I totally know those things.
Yeah.
You're like, you get that thing just stuck in your craw. You're like, yeah.
Well, listen, let's play a song. Let's play some Chumbawamba. We'll come back and we'll hit the news. We're already 25 minutes into this show. We'll be so this is Chumbawamba. Howdy, but what Chumbawamba track you want to hear? You want to hear something from Anarchy? You want to hear something from the early anarcho-punk days? You want to hear one of the big hits? You want to hear a rarity? What do you want to hear?
No, because I'm going to want to hear, like, one of the like, oldie, like, political, like union songs that they did. But I don't think that's what listeners are going to like, so you pick.
All right, let's play something off probably the best album, Anarchy. Let's do Give the Anarchist a Cigarette.
Albert! Woo! Bobby! Woo! For God's God's sake, burn it down.
And we are back, and that was Chumbawamba. If you haven't checked out Chumbawamba, you have to. Here's something else that everyone is checking out. The Fest 20 has been announced, and quite sadly, Punk Rock Bowling has not been announced. And, you know, it looks like Punk Rock Bowling might not happen this year, so if you're only going to go to one festival, Fest is probably going to be the one. The Fest, of course, is October 28 to 30 in Gainesville, Florida. Nah, is that right? It's not on Halloween this year? Did I get that wrong?
Oh, I didn't look at the date. You know, I was so busy looking at the lineup that I didn't look at the dates.
Isn't Fest always on Halloween?
It's always on. Well, no, I mean, it normally ends up just that weekend ends up being around Halloween. But why? When is it?
28 to 30, not Halloween this year.
So yeah, Fest no, it's is- not. No, I mean, it's just it's on that weekend. So if Halloween falls on the weekend, then it's on Halloween. But if Halloween doesn't fall on a weekend, then it's not on Halloween.
Well, they have it at Fest 20, October 28 to 30 in Gainesville, Florida. After a COVID delay, bands playing Andy Flagabelle, Bouncing Soul, City of Caterpillar, Cobra Skulls, Cursive, Dopamines, Ergs, FYP, Flatliners, Hot Water Music, Into It Over, Iron Sheik, Buster Plug, Pieball, Sam I Am, Suicide Machines, Tim Bagg, Toys That Killed, 12 Hour Turn, War Unlimited, A Vulture Wake, After the Fall, Ann Beretta, Audio Karate, The Best of the Worst, Bob Nana of Braid, right? Kathleen Damaris, The Callous Du Bois, Catbite, Chad Price, Clown Sounds, Dan Bappa and the Cheats, Dark Thoughts, Dead Bars, Dikembe, Dollar Signs, Expert Timing, Gillian Carter, Homeless Gospel Choir, Jer, John Snodgrass, Joystick, Callie Massey, Kale Lincoln, Maxwell Stern, No Trigger, No Man, Omnigon, Pet Symmetry, Pez, Pew Pew Pew, Pool Kids, Punk Cellist, Restraining Order, Sarcasm, Save Ends, She Hee Hee, Signals Midwest, Slingshot Data, Super Bloom, Tight Wire, Tsunami Bomb, Typesetter, the Underground Railroad to Candyland, Wolf Face, You Vandal, Zeta, Abascadabra, Bashful, Big Bird, Billy Liar,
John Mirror, is determined to make this a 3-hour episode.
Dry Sock, Eichler, Elder, Flagman, Flying Raccoon, Cruiser, Gloomy, Great Batter, Hellcat, Heavy Seas, Hit Like a Girl, Hearthwood, Hunger Anthem, Intervention, Jacob Smith, Jacob Daniels, and More and the Boys, Jukebox Romantics, Kid Unite, Little Teeth, Lone Wolf, Madison Turner, Male Patterns, Matt Cass and the Breaks, Men of Grammo, Middle Age Queers, Mike and the Nerve, Next Cars, Niche, Noise Complaint, Paige Beller, Palomino Blonde, Pangolino, Panic Patterns.
John is auditioning to be that guy that like lists the side effects of a prescription drug quickly at the end of the commercial.
Talking poops, Telepathic Lines, Thirsty Girls, Tim Holehouse, Upflux, Virginia, and 84 Tigers.
Woohoo!
And Chris Catherine. Did I say Chris Catherine? He's going to be there, I think. Right?
He's going to be there, yeah.
Hallie Bullitt, I know you are a fest type gal. Are you going to be a fest type gal in the year of 2022?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to this. I have to say, like, for some reason, I got a little bit more excited about the lineup of what was that other festival that we were going to talk about last week, but we ended up not.
Was that the one with like the really odd lineup?
Lollapalooza.
Was it Lollapalooza? Yeah. I got a little bit more excited about the Lollapalooza lineup just because it had like a lot of people I've really wanting to be. Like, I really want to see Pom Pom Squad. I really want to see Willow. I want to see Mimi at the Altar. I want to see Wet Leg. I'll see Dua Lipa. I'll see Doja Cat. I have no problem with those. You know what I mean? Like, it was just interesting that reading that list, I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. And then reading like the fest list, I was still excited, but I didn't have that same feeling of like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't know. This is going to be cool though. I haven't seen Anti-Flag or Avail or Toys That Kill in a really, really long time. That's going to be fun. And then I thought they did like a fairly good job at adding like some bands that I don't think of as being like typical fest bands. Like I'm really excited to see Dark Thoughts. Even just like Pool Kids from Tallahassee, that's more of like an arty kind of disjointed kind of emo-y math punk kind of situation. So I think this is a cool lineup. I think I think for people that were maybe, cause I was noticing that a lot of the commenters were like, it's the same bands that always play fest. Like, yeah, you know, maybe that's true of like some of the headliners, but I think if you scratch the surface, there's some really, really cool, interesting stuff to see. And it's a lot of damn bands, man. Like, if you're not excited to see Avail, because like for me, I mean, I just think there's a lot of people that have seen them a ton. If that's not exciting to you, just there's going to be other shit at that time for you to see. There's a lot of stuff here. I don't know. How did you guys react to this lineup announcement? Also, I'm sure Tony's going to announce other stuff moving forward. But yeah, what do you think of this original announcement?
One thing I will add, and then I'll let Emma reply, there's something of a unique twist here in that several bands are doing two sets, presumably different sets, but actually they haven't made it clear if it's different sets or the same set twice, so more people can see it. Bands doing two sets, Hot Water Music, Anti-Flag, Bouncing Souls, Piebald, Sam I Am, and Flatliners, and more. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great opportunity. If you're like, if you have a bunch of bands that you want to see one day and you miss like, you know, like, Hot Water Music or whatever and you want to see them again, like I think that, or you miss them and then you want to see them and you have that opportunity, I think that's great. Yeah, there were some, some bands that I definitely go see. But like for the most part, it's like, it's bands that I've heard of, you know, it's bands that I know are like kind of part of like bands that I know, like, oh yeah, if you see this name, you know, people are going to like it, you know, but I haven't like listened to them or I haven't given them a proper chance. So yeah. Like, I can't really, I'm not like excited about it in that way. But like, yeah, like there are some really cool bands like Suicide Machines and, like PQPQ, Restraining Orders playing, you know, they're really cool. And like, there's a lot of like really cool bands that I think would be really neat, but I don't know about like going to the festival. I like their logo too. I wanted to mention that because like the updated logo with like the, it's like a jack-o'-lantern and there's like cake on top of it. And it's really cool. I like that. It's cool. I was excited about that because it's like neat.
John, I actually get to go. I talked so much about how excited I was to go last year, and then I couldn't fucking go. So I just hope like COVID, get out of my way, please.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. I want to go see some shit. Yeah, John, you gonna meet me down at Fest?
Probably not. Fest is just not my style. I'd love to see Catbite, but I can see Catbite here next week. I'd love to see Chris Gethard, but I don't need to go to Florida to see him. I'll wait till he comes to Philadelphia again and does a double show where he does his comedy routine and his podcast live, which is quite enjoyable. Other than that, I mean, I think I'd be really bummed out at this, frankly. I do like the idea that they're doing two sets, and I love that, like, when a band will do a normal set and then, like, a regular set. Not to bring it back to me, but one time in Philadelphia, we threw two World Inferno shows in one day. They did a regular show and then, like, an all-rarity show. And so as a fan, that's an awesome thing to do. And people do say, oh, it's the same bands every time, and it kind of is the same bands every time, but people go to kind of see, like, if Punk Rock Bowling had, like, Flag and the Circle Jerks and Devo every time, I'd say that's awesome, you know? Especially if, like, Circle Jerks were like, we're doing it all, you know, Wild in the Street set and or normal set. I'd be like, wow, that's cool. So it comes down to the I would say, wimpy but honest stance. Not my thing, but if it is your thing, it's pretty cool. And that I mean, what can I say, you know?
But you know what, John? You know how we talked about the other week? We were talking about, like, again, I'm, like, spacing on the names of all these festivals, but we were talking about a festival that seemed like it just was, that there was no vision to it. It didn't seem like it had been curated. You know, you got to say, for Fest, it's like, it is curated. You can tell that the people that run Fest, they book the bands that they fucking love year after year. It's so authentic. Do you know what I mean? It's so authentic. There's nothing that feels like a money grab or a let's try to reel in this other scene of music lovers. You know, it's just like they book what they love. That's it. Like, end of story. I think there's something really admirable about that.
True. And there's no stunting. There's no, like, you know, here's this band's reuniting, even they all hate each other, they're just doing it for the paycheck, which is cool. I will say, and this is a minor criticism, sometimes Fest does book left field bands. I think did Gwar ever play? I know the Dwarves played, which was kind of a cool left field pick. Melvins played one year. High on Fire, I think, played one year. So I think they could maybe throw in a few left field picks to keep it a little bit more interesting. That being said, the double set thing is kind of cool, honestly, if you're into those bands. Also, I will say, I'm just loving how Catbite is rising and rising and rising. And everyone's like, oh, you know, Catbite sucks, we don't get it, but they're just getting more and more popular. And your hatred only fuels my enjoyment. You know what I mean? Like I love of all the bands we list, the commenters are worrying about Catbite. You know what I mean? It's like, your hatred fuels my energy. Anyway, it's great. Here's something that I definitely will be going to. Men at Work, they're reuniting, and they're going on tour with Rick Springfield and John Wayne. It's not really Men at Work. It's Colin Hay and his backing band doing Men at Work, which is fine with me because, honestly, half the Men at Work guys are sadly passed away and the other guys kind of hate each other. But I don't care. I just want to hear Colin Hay doing Men at Work songs in a Men at Work style. If you go see Colin Hay solo, he does mostly solo stuff and he does, like, 3 Men at Work stuff. But, like, he does them as if he was, like, James Taylor or something. It's like no one wants to hear – like, that's a lose-lose situation. It's like, I know you all are here to hear this awesome song, so I'm going to play that awesome song, but I'm going to play it really crappily, you know? Whereas Men at Work is straight-up Men at Work. I'm so excited. It's probably going to be the only time I get to see Men at Work, honestly, because he, for a long, long time, he wasn't doing any USA dates, and I believe, I don't know this, but I believe it was a trademark issue. And now he's, I think he doesn't even want, really want to do Men at Work. I think he'd rather do Colin Hay solo or tour with Ringo, which he does, which is kind of cool. But I think this is kind of a cash grab, which is fine. Sometimes a cash grab is all right. I'm super excited to see Colin Hay do 12 Men at Work songs. I'm really, and I really hoped that he sell, I realize it's corny to go to a show hoping there's cool merch, but I do hope there's a bright yellow Men at Work shirt that I want to buy. And Colin Hay, listen to me. Sometimes when, like, Legacy Acts go on tour, Alice Cooper, they, like, have terrible merch. Like, they have it, like, designed by someone that doesn't understand the band's, like, aesthetic at all. Like, it's made in Hot Topic. Or they try to make something that, like, looks modern. No, Colin Hay. Just do a yellow shirt that's got the Men at Work logo on it or the first Men at Work album cover. And I will buy it. I don't care if it's $45, Colin Hay. I will buy that t-shirt. So please, I'm excited to see you, Colin Hay. Please have a yellow Men at Work t-shirt because I really want to buy it and wear it to the Uber Punk show proudly and walk around and kind of thumb my shirt in everyone's nose and then afterwards wonder why no one wants to talk to me at the punk show. Anyways, I'm psyched. And more, Men at Work, are you psyched that Colin Hay is doing Land Down Under and Who Can It Be and It's a Mistake yet again, live, electric style on stage?
I only really know the Down Under song, and that's about it. I haven't really looked into them, like, too much. It's just if they haven't been played on the radio, then I don't really know. But they I will check out more of their stuff. Because, like, that's a really catchy song. I know they have other stuff, but I'm just, like, picturing, like, them playing it on a loop. But
John, you're telling me you don't like that stripped-down version he does of Overkill?
You know his album where he did all re-recorded Men at Work tracks?
I just know that cover. That, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's, you'd still call it a cover, right? He covers his own song. That acoustic version of Overkill is so amazing. I would say it's better than the original. I would be more likely to see, I have to say, I haven't done it yet. So obviously I'm not like dying to go, but I would be more likely to go see Colin Hay solo than I would be to go see this. Cause I think you're
more likely to see Colin Hay than Men at Work?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's amazing. I don't mind the acoustic. I don't mind his acoustic vibes. I'm there for that. I'm not mad at that.
Wow. Wow. Full take. Well, listen, I reached out to try to interview him once before, but he was only doing Men at Work in England, and they say, well, in Europe. They're like, well, we only represent him for Europe. I'm going to reach out to, again, to see if we can get Colin Hay to come on the Punk News podcast. That would be awesome, you know. So, man, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. I actually flew out to L.A. last year to see him, and I'm glad I didn't. It saved me a lot of bucks. Here's another band taking a bold choice where Colin Hay does very stripped-down James Taylor-type stuff. Ceremony is stripping down from the hardcore, which they actually did about 10 years ago, and they've got a new 12-inch single. The new 12-inch single is called Vanity Spawned by Fear, and the flip side is California Poppy. Vanity Spawned by Fear, it reminds me very much of, like, Modern English or I'm forgetting the band that it kind of sounds New Order. It sounds a lot like New Order to me. California Poppy is kind of more of a more experimental type thing. I've got mixed feelings on this. I don't know if you guys want me to kick it off or if one of you guys want to talk about Ceremony and the latest phase of the band.
No, go ahead.
Well, of course, the famous thing with Ceremony is they put out one of the very best hardcore records of all time, Ronit Park, and they immediately stopped doing hardcore. And that was mad. People kind of forget that Ceremony used to be the underground hardcore band, kind of like Scal is now. Or like Warthog is. Like, now people think of Ceremony as kind of like this broader band, but it was when Ceremony went from Ronin Park to Zoo, like, people were shocked at how much they changed themselves. And then when L-Shaped Man came along, people kind of threw in the towel and that, well, old Ceremony is totally gone at this point. I can appreciate that the band wanted to go beyond hardcore, but with Zoo and with L-Shaped Man, I just wish they had done it a little bit differently. It's like, they went from being the very best hardcore band to being just another indie rock band, where a lot of bands kind of do that. I feel as though if they had kept some of the more aggressive stuff and then mixed in weirdness, they would have become the ultimate band and would have been, like, even better. Whereas I think they kind of I don't know if they got too cool for hardcore, and I get wanting to spread your wings, but I felt just because you spread your wings doesn't mean it's better, and I think with L-Shaped Man and Zoo, it was worse. I think they could have grown, kept some of the aggression and gone more. I mean, they could have went in like a rock music angle or like a Devo angle, and I think they kind of just went like Joy Division light, if you will, especially with L-Shaped Man. I thought the one after that, In the Spirit World Now, was getting better and getting towards where they were, should have been actually kind of. But then, of course, they were like very, like, In the Spirit World Now sounds almost exactly like Gary Numan and sort of like Devo. And then the interviews, they're like, well, we didn't really listen to Gary Numan. It's like, you covered Gary Numan live on this tour. Like, how can you not? Sometimes one does get, and maybe I'm wrong, but sometimes you do get the impression that because Ceremony wrote one of the greatest hardcore albums of all time, they're very full of themselves, and maybe they're a little bit conceited and pomp. Well, not pomp isn't the right word. What do you call it when something is like artistically hoity-toity? What's the word I'm looking for?
Pretentious.
You know? Right, and so, like, I dig that they, like, have, like, all the flowers and stuff, which I think is real cool, especially when they had the aggressive side, but they kind of just did, like, indie rock and kind of Joy Division light, and they're like, we've moved beyond hardcore to something new. And they were acting, well, not that they were acting, they kind of seemed to, I don't know, suggest that if you didn't dig it, you just didn't get the band, but it's like, well, no, it's kind of just Joy Division light or even New Order light. When I first heard Vanity Spawn by Fear, I'm like, oh, this sucks, man. It's like post-disco. It's like there's a million bands that sound like this. But then I listened to it a couple of times, and it got kind of catchier and kind of catchier. So I do like the track, and I often run a test. I say, if this wasn't – like if I hear a new song by the Rolling Stones, I say, if this wasn't the Rolling Stones and it was just some band, would I like it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great test, you know?
Yeah.
And so with this one, when I first heard it, I'm like, this is bullshit. I hate this. But then I kind of listened to it a couple of times, and even though it's long and it's got kind of saxophone in it, it is kind of Roxy music-ish, especially like second half Roxy music or Brian Ferry-ish. And I'm coming around. I don't love it, but I think they're headed back more in the right direction. But I guess – and maybe I realize the band's got to make a living, but as soon as it was announced, they had like T-shirts and bags and long sleeve shirts, and it's like it's just one single, guys. So it's like you're putting such import into this one single that is a pretty good New Order post disco Roxy. Like, it's kind of been done before. It's good, but it's been kind of been done before. And so maybe this is just me resenting them for not making the exact kind of music that I would have liked them to make after Ronin Park, because I control the universe. Maybe this is just me, like, punishing them for that. But I thought this song was good, but it didn't need all the build-up and the, you know, they'll put, like, poems next to their songs, you know. Actually, well, I'm going to be a total dick here. But on the last Ceremony tour, Ross, he's got, like, a doctorate in poetry or something. And he came out and he did poetry. And people, like, didn't know how, like, they're like, why is this guy reading poetry? Like, we want music, you know? And I don't, like, Ceremony is an amazing band, and they still are capable of making amazing music. I think maybe there's a little bit too much pretension in there, and I think maybe some of their stuff could be worked on a little bit harder. And as a side note, even though Ceremony is still a band, there are so many now Ceremony spinoff bands. There's Anthony spinoff bands, and I think he's got even another spinoff band. Ross has Spice, which is kind of just like this, but he also has Crisis Man, which is him doing hardcore, which is fantastic. I wish they would just, like, take the Crisis Man stuff and maybe artsy-fartsy that up. I think that's the angle to go. And it goes back to the Rancid argument, and it goes back to what's the band we were talking about this with. It's all the guys are doing stuff that's okay, and if you all put your head together, maybe you would have something incredible. And the fact that you don't suggests something. That's my take. I realize that's kind of a blunderbuss of info, but that's how I feel. Mixed feelings, you know. Hallie Bush, how does it strike you?
Yeah, I didn't like this, and I sort of had the opposite thing. Like, I think I gave it more of a chance because of the Ceremony. You know what I mean? As opposed to mm-hmm. what you like, how you were saying you'll listen and be like, if this was any other band than this band that I already have certain expectations of, like, what would I think of this? I mean, if that had been the case, I would have just skipped it altogether. I would have listened to the first, like, 30 seconds and been like, this is not for me. But I listened to the whole thing. I just didn't like it. I don't think it sounds like New Order. I love New Order, and I don't like this. I would say, like, the stuff on In a Spirit World Now maybe sounds more like that, more like a New Order, like a new wave sort of post-disco kind of thing. This I just found to be kind of boring. Like a lot of the sort of more electronic based indie rock that comes out now, or that's been coming out for a while. And actually I feel like, thankfully, I feel like indie rock is sort of kind of turning a corner, and you're not hearing as much of that kind of stuff anymore. And I'm relieved personally, as like, cause I love indie rock. And when a lot of it was just sort of this watered down electronic stuff, I was like, kind of, it was hurting my heart. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't super into this, but it's just one single. I think they're super talented. I like a lot of what they do. I would see them live in a heartbeat. But yeah, I don't know. This single definitely didn't speak to me. What did you think?
Yeah, I wasn't, like, going in, I wasn't sure, like, exactly what to expect. And the Vanity Spawn by Fear, I liked that song. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was I found it really relaxing. Like, I found it very, mm-hmm. like, calming, and it was, you know, it's just like you're listening to it, and there's kind of, like, breathy-ish vocals, and it's just, like, it's nice, it's very pleasant. There's the saxophone, and it sounds really cool, you know. So I really enjoyed the first song, California Poppy. I didn't like it. That's not fair. The first half of it, I didn't mind. And then it just got to be, like, droning and kind of, like, trancey almost, you know.
Pretentious, perhaps?
Yeah, a little bit. just a tad. Yeah, so I didn't like it at all, but I have listened to Vanity Spawn by Fear a couple times more, and it's really good. I do like when Ceremony does, like, more aggressive stuff, but, you know, this isn't bad. Well, one of them isn't bad. Half of it's not bad. I like half of it.
I like Vanity Spawn by Fear as a title, though. I was like, that perfectly describes a few people that I know.
Hattie Bullitt low key taking shots at me on the podcast. That's fine.
No, I would say that describes a lot of comedians I know, and maybe about half of the guitarists that I know.
Hattie actually slightly alluded to this, I think, is one problem that Ceremony has live, and they haven't been able to figure it out, is before Rona Park, you know, pretty much everything is fast or like chomp, chugga, chugga, wah, 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 you know, very aggressive. And then everything else is smooth. And then when you go see them live, they'll do like three smooth tracks and then like two aggressive ones and then like three smooth ones. And like they haven't figured out how to make those two sides fit together. And it just feels like a very awkward show. I saw all the Rona Park. Best I've ever seen. Like, it was all just like it all snapped together perfectly. But now, like, imagine doing Vanity Spawn by Fear, you know, mixed into Crooked, Sick or something from Rona Park or something from even the earlier stuff. It just doesn't fit together. It's like two different bands, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think there's a way around that, frankly. And anyway, let's play a track.
I still would like to see them, like, try to pull it off. Because I've never seen them live. I would be interested to hear those things all played together in one set. I think that actually sounds like, even if it didn't work, I think there'd be something interesting to me about it, you know?
Would you like to hear poetry read live after the set?
Is it good poetry or bad poetry?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. That's all I'll say with regards to that. Would you like to pay $10 on a zine and then you buy it before the show and read it before the show and you realize it is literally just a list of like 100 things and it's not even funny and it took all of 13 minutes to write and you just spent $10 on it and you're furious at yourself for getting suckered because you have to have everything by this band? Would you do that as well?
No, I would not like that.
Should we play Vanity Spawn by Fear or should we play Max Creeps, the next band we're going to talk about? And more, what should we play?
Let's play Max Creeps.
This is Max Creeps, the unknown band. We'll be right back.
gave us nothing in return.
And we're going to talk about Max Creeps, a story that I'm very happy to report that Punk News was the very first to pick up on. Max, who is – so anyways, early one morning I opened up my Punk News email and it said Max Creeps breaks up after 40 years or whatever, and all these people are paying tribute to them, including Billy Joe Armstrong and Slash and Laura Jane Grace and Henry Rollins. And I'm like, I never heard of this band Max Creeps ever. And then I Googled them, and there was no record of this band whatsoever. And no one else reported on this. And Punk News, being the very strict and steadfast and dedicated news organization we are, I emailed the person, and I said, so, like, what's the deal? And they're like, can you post about this story? And I'm like, I'll post about it, but I got to say there's no record of this band anywhere. And how's that? You know, what do you think of that? And they're like, that's all right with us. So I posted about it, and so it's clear that this is – I mean, I think it's relatively clear this is some sort of a gag, which I'm all for. All over the internet, there's speculation as to who Max Creep – and then today they said they've reunited and they put out a song. The song is called Burn It Down, and they're going to put out an album. It's 9 tracks, and they're all really fast, and it's kind of like first wave punk. The story behind this, quote, band is that they met in 1973 at a David Bowie show and have been punk pioneers ever since, and there's two of them. Of course, it's most likely a ruse, and it's probably two artists that we know, making this music. And all over the internet, people are is it actually Green Day? Is it Dave Grohl? Is it, I thought it was Buzz Osborne, because if you look at this picture, of the band, they've got like middle finger masks on. The guy on the right appears to have the broad frame of Buzz Osborne, and he would do one of these kind of gags, and he does like, you know, first wave punk. But then I saw one of the quotes was from Joey Keithley, and Buzz and Joey Keithley hate each other. So I wouldn't say that rules out Buzz Osborne's input, but I would say that maybe not him. Then I also saw, like, I think there's like some flash, like Ipecac Records. This very well could be like a Mike Patton type thing. I could see Mike Patton doing that. But as of right now, I think the song's kind of cool. It's, you know, it's first wave punk, and it's obviously kind of a tongue-in-cheek throwback, but I am very interested to see who this is. And I'm like, I kind of want to buy it, but like, I don't want to buy it. And it's like Dave Grohl, then I'll feel like an idiot, you know. And more, what do you think?
I think that Duff McKagan is in it 100%. I have that vibe. I've listened to a lot of his, like he had Loaded after Guns N' Roses, and I've listened to that way too much. So, like, I know a lot about how, like, his voice sounds and stuff, and I could hear it at different points. So I think he is a part of the band somehow, and he was also one of the people who paid tribute to the band. It also says the band's was based out of Seattle, and oh my God, what's the name of the what was he in? But he was Duff McKagan was in one of the punk band in Seattle.
The Force.
Before Guns N' Roses. So I think that he is a major player in this somehow. I also kind of have a feeling that different tracks might sound different. Like, it might not be the same two people. It might be, you know, it might be switched up a little bit because there were so many people who paid tribute. I think they're all in on it in some way. But, yeah, that's what I think about it. One thing I did think too is kind of like, what if it's like, you know how, like with, obviously, like, it's different, but with Steel Panther, how they're doing, like, we're going to make glam rock and we're actual musicians, but we're going to be, like, really dumb, you know, and kind of parody it. Like, I kind of wondered if they were doing something like that, you know, sort of with it. Like, I'm not calling the song dumb or anything, but just, like, take it in a more comedic direction almost, because the interview that they gave with where they announced their reunion was hosted on Monster Children, and like I watched it and it's like, yeah, we would have been the biggest band, but then we got thrown in the Betty Ford Rehab Center, we broke up over a gas bill for $262, and then like one of the guy calls in and, you know, they're fighting and it's like, this is the first time they've spoken in like a while. And then it's like, yeah, we're going on, we're coming back and we're going to go on tour. And, they described the album and it was, some people say that the first album's the best and the second album's the worst. Well, what we made our second album first, and describing this one, like coming out. And it's just like, it's fun. I really like it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what more comes out of it, because I like the mystery, and then I like the joy to it, because there's so many clues and there's so many things. And yeah, like with the Ipecac, like 100% I thought, oh, like Mike Patton has to be involved somehow, you know. And the middle finger masks are just perfect. Like, seriously, if you could just walk, like, wear that and walk around all day, it'd just be perfect. Just the best.
To add credence to M. Moore, the tall guy in the picture does appear to have Duff McKagan's physical build, and his sleeves are, like, his arms are covered by his jacket, and Duff McKagan does have identifiable tattoos up and down his arms. So, Tally Bullet.
Yeah, I mean, I think as, like, performance art, I mean, just this is it's a great stunt, right? To get a bunch of people to announce that a band broke up that never existed and then announce that you're reuniting and that's your first release. Like, it's so funny. It's so clever. One of the commenters said that they thought the other guy was, Kurt Block, who I really only know from the Fastbacks. I know he did like a ton of producing after that, but I know him as the guy from that really awesome, like, Northwest pop punk band, the Fastbacks. I don't know. It seems fun and clever what they're doing. I'm like, I'll be really curious to see what else is coming down the pike.
I might have to buy this, because if it is Buzz Osborne, I'll be so mad if I didn't get one, you know. And then if it's not, then I could just sell it. So I might have to buy one. But what if it is Buzz Osborne? That'd be pretty cool. Anyways, here's something that people, I'll be interested to see if Em and Hallie think this is pretty cool or not. Big Moose Man Holington has released a new album. It's called Three Chords and the Hoop. And yet again, it is two guys. I think they live in, like, Indiana or something. This is, like, the 10th Big Moose Man Holington album. And these two guys have written, like, literally, like, 10 or more albums about how they like to have sex with My Little Ponies. And frankly, this album and the albums are like so badly recorded, and they play like Ramones chord, but it's like weird sound effects, and they're edited in like really poorly. And sometimes it sounds like some of the music is literally just them like singing over like public domain tracks they pull, or karaoke. Like these songs are such like a mess. And yet again, this album is probably their most obscene one. And I don't know if Hallie and them want me to be explicit or not, but this album's got some of the most explicit lyrics yet. I love Big Moose Manhole. Like, it's bad. Actually, it is bad, but then every once in a while, there's a glimmer. It's like, there's actually like a really good song buried under there, but there's so much garbage, like, just nailed to it, you know? And I love the performance art aspect of it, in that it's so hard to be like, you could be like a gangster rapper, say, I shoot this, I shoot cops, you know, bitch this, bitch that. That's not that shocking. You could be a punk band that says, we hate cops and we do drugs, and like, that's not that shocking. Somehow, like, two 40-year-old men making music that barely qualifies as music, that is, has the auteur level of skill of Daniel Johnson without any of the wit or charm. There's just something that is really threatening about that. You know what I mean? And maybe this band has found the final frontier of offense, and maybe we shouldn't go there as a society because they do make some not cool allusions. The last song is called Blood, Gut, and Ponies, and they say there's going to be a cleanup in the little girl's toys in aisle three. It's like messed up, you know, like even me, I'm like, this is messed up, you know, and I just love like just how bizarre it is. And the crazy thing is like, and more, I, the most recent album I got, how many copies do you think they made of the most recent album?
I'm going to say 15.
25. The one book out is 15. So if you want these, you really got to get them. And I've got them all. As a mother, as someone with taste, how does Big Moose Man Holington strike you?
No, I mean, I hate it. I hate it. I mean, but it's like, but I do see why you like it. Like, as outsider art, I totally get it. It's just like, for as a musician, it's really hard for me to listen to stuff like this. Even, but even like outsider art that's super well respected, like you take a band like the Shags, who I know people are obsessed with. It's just hard for me to hear people playing music out of time. It's like, it has like a nails on a chalkboard kind of like effect for me that I can't kind of get past. So, I can't really listen to it, so I don't know whether the lyrics would like offend me or not. I'm not like super into like brony core or like whatever they're doing.
That's the thing.
But like, I get why you think this is.
Mm-hmm. They're bronies, but they're bad bronies, because a good brony is apparently watches My Little Pony for like the entertainment aspect, but bad bronies whack off to My Little Pony, and these are bad bronies. They're.
Oh my God. I don't know what else to say about this. I do enjoy that you force me to listen to them like every like 8 months or so. I do appreciate it.
Should I keep reporting on this band? I mean, like, this is the same thing they've done before, just a little bit more offensive. And more, should we keep reporting on Big Moose Man Holington? Or after a while, do I become suspect after a while?
No, I think keep reporting. Because what I love about this is, like, how, like, whatever, like, you know, people comment or whatever, and then he comments right back with, like, My Little Pony memes. And it's awesome.
When I first learned about this band, I thought this was, like, two 14-year-old boys that just being ridiculous. And yeah. They messaged me, and it's, like, two 40-year-old dudes. And I thought, like, deep down, the Guar guys are basically, like, normal people, you know what I mean? Like, they're artists, but they're basically normal. Deep down, I don't think these guys are normal. Like, I think these guys are weird, you know, and I think they're feeding off each other. So I think that this might be like a dangerous relationship that they're in. That we're gonna keep riding the train. Riding the pony. What can I say? One last story. This band is highly respected in the maximum rock and roll underground, you know, uber punk type circles. Warthog, they've announced a new EP. The new EP is just Warthog, and that, I think most of their EPs are just called Warthog. It's out via Toxic State in New York, which is kind of the modern hardcore and, you know, Maximum Rock and Roll style hardcore label these days. And more, I'll kick it off. I have some feeling of Warthog. I've seen Warthog live, and they're a very good live. And I like their aesthetic. I think most of their art is done by Alexander Hare of Lotion, who's one of my favorite musicians and one of my favorite visual artists. I think he's fantastic. Warthog plays very, very good, energetic, straightforward hardcore punk. But what I would say, and people like in the Philly can be like, oh, Warthog is the best band. Like, Warthog, you know, punk, like it or not, punk is extremely subject to the popular girl, you know, or the popular guy or whatever, or like high school mentality. Like, oh, everyone's wearing baggy jeans now. We got to wear baggy jeans, you know. And so I think Warthog is a very good band, but I think they're just kind of a amalgam of most of the best parts of hardcore from 85 to like 2005. Like, when I hear it, it's all very good, but I've heard it been done before by a lot of other bands. It just, here it is all at once, done very well, but I feel, it's funny, punk is supposed to be the outside the lines genre, but I feel that Warthog is extremely inside the line. Kind of like, you know, I used to like tragedy a lot, and then I stepped back and I thought about it, they're just taking all the best aspects of heavier punk and just tying it together, which I guess there's some merit to that. But people talk about how, like, Tragedy is like this mystical band that's like the greatest thing ever. No, Tragedy is just very good. And to a degree, it's kind of silly, because when you sing in a monster voice, it's like you drive a Honda, you just got came from 7-Eleven, and it's like, you know, the destruction of war. You know, it's like you're driving you're not some intergalactic Viking from the future. You're some dude that works at Staples or something, you know. And, you know, Warthog isn't quite that level, I would say, of maybe not self-aware. But I feel it's good, but I like it. But if I had my choice between this and something that is weird or new, then I'm going to go with the weird and new, frankly, you know. And more, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with the, like, Warthog, they're not breaking new ground, but they're doing what they do very, very well. And I think exactly. There's something, yeah, like, there's something to be said about it, because, like, you know what they're going to put out. Like, their previous EP in, like, 2018, yeah, that was also self-titled. It was very good. Like, it's just, it's nice to know in one way, like, what you're getting. You know, like, when I saw this was announced and, like, listened to the song, I was like, yep, that's great. You know, that's more or less what I thought it was going to be, you know, and it's good, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. So it's exciting in that sense. But, yeah, it's just, it's comforting to know you can go to certain bands and have very good output all the time, you know, even if it's not, like, breaking any molds. You know, it is kind of nice to have that. So they're, like, a great example of that, because great musicianship, like, the guitar work is really good. It's a bit better than the last one. There's more going on that way. But very good. Four Walls, great. Looking forward to more. I don't like when, like, a single's released and then the feedback, like, just cuts off, like, abruptly. And it's like, no, I know that when this comes out, that's going to, like, go so well into the next song. And that bothers me. And that's kind of the only complaint I have with it.
When I was listening to this, I you guys know I don't really have an ear for this kind of hardcore, but I was like, oh yeah, this sounds like these guys are really good at what they do. So I do feel validated, like, hearing you guys talk about this, because you do have an ear for hardcore. It's like, but what you're saying is that these are, it's a little bit like regurgitated ideas. I mean, that's the thing that I wouldn't really know, because I didn't listen to any of the bands that this band is influenced by. But yeah, I mean, I didn't not like it. You know, I was like, oh yeah, these sound like guys that are, it sounds like they're good at what they do. And that's really all I thought about it.
Hallie Bullitt, you've committed a minor driving infraction. You ran the red light, but it was an honest mistake, and there was no one else there. The judge is surprisingly lenient. He's like, you can either listen to the Warthog discography or two Big Moose Man Hollington cassette tapes. What do you listen to?
Oh, definitely the Warthog. Definitely.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
How about you, Ed Moore? How about you?
The Warthog, also because it would only be like don't know, 20 minutes.
Well, listen, we're already at the finish line, believe it or not. It's good to be back in action and just hanging with my favorite crew. So here we are. And more. Any closing words for the listeners?
Embrace the change.
Hallie Bullitt.
How am I supposed to follow that cryptic?
Okay, I'm gonna flip a coin.
Wait a minute. Follow the ethereal. No, I can't.
Yes, I have nothing to do. I'm gonna flip a coin. Heads, we play Big Moose Man Hollington. Tails, we play Warthog. Ready? Here we go. Yes. I'm gonna see if I can get the sound on my computer.
Okay.
Ah, crap! I dropped it.
Where did it land?
Wait, do you have another coin?
Yeah, I found it right there. Here we go.
Can you bump it off the other one?
Can I bump it off the other one? What do you mean?
Like, can you, like, when you flip it, can you make it kind of land on the other one? Like, so it makes that, like, tink sound?
I'll try. Here we go.
You're getting very Foley artist heads. About this.
Heads. Heads. Heads.
Warthog.
Well, here it is. Warthog.
Okay.
See you next week.